the days of 3 and 4 and 5 year, projects that are multi-millions, tens to hundreds of millions of dollars, those days are gone, because after 4 years of doing a project, everything's going to be different.
Welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted, the show dedicated to innovation in the insurance industry. Each episode, you'll get a dose of thought leadership from the industry's top business minds, influencers, innovators, and executive leaders. If you want to transform your corner of the industry and exchange innovative ideas, you need to subscribe to this podcast. Now here's your host, Abel Travis.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast dedicated to insurance innovation. So really quickly, before we jump into this episode of the podcast, there were some audio challenges that we were facing on the receiving side. So it's not going to be the same audio quality that you're used to from the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast, but hopefully that doesn't detract from the message of the guest that I have on the podcast here today. It's Denise Garth, who's a really strong and talented innovator within the insurance industry. So I do apologize for the audio challenges that we faced, but again, hopefully that doesn't detract from the message. So before we jump in, I just want to quickly recognize the sponsor of this episode of the podcast, and that's Vortex Legal. Innovation in the insurance field is exciting, and Vortex Legal is a unique and proven solution to help improve a company's loss ratio by substantially reducing legal expenses. Their nationwide network of local attorneys attend the voluminous and routine and predictable hearings for a flat rate, not an hourly rate. So Vortex Legal's solution works with both staff counsel offices as well as outside law firms. They've saved many carriers millions of dollars. So if you want to learn more, just contact Jonathan Broder at 954-473-2648 or visit vortexlegal.com. So today I'm speaking with Denise Garth. Now, Denise is the SVP of Strategic Marketing, Industry Relations, and Innovations at Majesco, a leading insurance solutions and services provider for core insurance functions. Now, I also had the opportunity to participate on a panel discussion about the future of the insurance industry with Denise at the SVIA conference. So folks, you're not going to want to miss the expertise that Denise is going to bring here today. So, take notes as you're listening. So, hey, Denise, it's really a pleasure to have you here on the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you. It's fun to be together again. It was a lot of fun at the SDIA on our panel, too.
Absolutely. So hey, Denise, again, thanks for joining me. And I really want to learn about you and your history in the insurance industry before we jump into exactly what you're doing today. So if you don't mind, talk to me a little bit about your history in insurance.
So as most people who get into the industry, once they're in, they never leave. So I actually joined the insurance industry right out of college. Was not an industry that I was thinking about, but once I joined, it was an industry that I saw a lot of opportunity personally and professionally, and I saw a lot of value that it gave back to society and to individuals. So I started out as a programmer, moved my way up to systems analyst, and I then headed up a function that basically was going to do some internal consulting. It was kind of the point of some of the early innovation type of areas where you were looking at process optimization, re-engineering, and how could you apply technology. And I had the unique opportunity to work with every function of the insurance company that I was working for at that time. And it was a wealth of experience to really understand the underpinnings of every part of the organization. And a great opportunity to really see how technology could really enable that. Moving from there, I got into corporate project management, led a number of large corporate projects. I then moved over to marketing and actually headed up our Salesforce automation, our marketing information area, research, all of that. And from there, I ended up moving back over to IT when I left that company and joined another insurance company, and turned around a project, and then headed up the IT organization for the individual line. And that was another really interesting experience, because we basically moved from a product strategy to a customer strategy, and that upended all of the systems. From there, I moved on to Accord, and I was at Accord for about 8 years. I headed up all of our initiatives around customer growth, our strategy, and eventually our product development, which included moving the IBM IAA model as a part of the Accord standards at that time. From there, I moved to Innovation Group, a solution provider for the PNC industry. And then I went over to strategy and needs action for a period of time and focused in on launching their emerging tech and innovation practice, as well as really focused in on what does it mean to be a digital insurer and then the next generation insurer. And I spent a lot of time outside the industry understanding what was really happening outside, the technologies that were being adopted by our customers as an industry, and what were the implications for that. And then eventually joined Majesco as a result of some people that I had worked with before, and headed up all of the strategic marketing and obviously real heavy focus on innovation and insurtech. I've had a pretty varied career, both on the IT and the business side, in a lot of different parts of the industry and the ecosystem of the industry. And I think because of that, it's really given me a very unique and kind of a broad perspective of the entire value chain of the industry across all different lines of business, the different entities involved, but also spending time from an outside-in perspective has really given me a view as to what is really hitting the industry today. You know, I've been involved with the industry over 30 years, and I was part of innovation periodically throughout that period of time, coming out with, you know, variable universal life product on the life side or a telematics product on the PNC side, and some innovative compensation structures, all of those types of things. But this period of time is so unique because there are so many things hitting us that it's such a great opportunity. It's also a challenge, but it's actually one of the most interesting times in my entire career, and I couldn't be more energized by it than I've been in the entire career.
You know, I would agree with you. You know, as I look at everything that's happening in this industry, in all of the different changes and transformations that's occurring, that's impacting the value chain, I get really excited to see what that means for the future of insurance. And as you noted, Denise, you know, there's opportunities across the value chain, you know, for organizations to provide significant value. And as we look at what you're doing and what you've done in your history, I think it absolutely sets you up for the work that you're doing today at Majesco. So, you know, if you can, you know, just, you know, give me a quick introduction to what Majesco is and the company's focus within the insurance space.
So Majesco is a core systems provider for both the PNC and the L&A life and annuity and group side of the business. We also provide some consulting services around testing and data and digital types of services. But it's, our core is really around our software, and it is really policy, billing, and claims, a suite on both sides of both segments of the industry. We also provide distribution management, and we just recently launched the Digital First platform, and it truly is a true platform. It's a microservices platform that we launched. Well, we'll be launching here the 1st of May. We announced it in October because we were in beta. But it's the first digital engagement of microservices platform as a service for the entire insurance industry. And it's pretty interesting because I think this is really where we're beginning to see some of these new insurance models that have emerged, that they've kind of built their own systems around microservices and a platform kind of a focus. And that's really one of those trends that we'll probably be talking about that we see that is really going to have a fundamental change for the industry.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that. So where you said that some of these, let's say, carriers are building out their own models and their own systems from a platform perspective, what I've seen thus far as I look into what these carriers are doing are they're building it, but it's being built upon legacy technology. And you know what happens as you build things upon legacy technology in the future, that means you're saddled with some of that legacy debt or the legacy limitations that come along with, you know, building on top of that. So for me, I see things like what you all are doing with your digital first platform and strategy, which could potentially help organizations unhinge that from the legacy component of the technology and really look forward into the future of where that organization may want to go. So just thinking about what you're doing now and what your view is of the insurance industry, you know, what's been some of the biggest influences of change in insurance, and then how is this affecting the way we think about the future of the insurance industry?
Well, we look at it, we did a lot of our own research, both primary and secondary research, and we came up with a model about 2.5 years ago. Having been an industry analyst and being an analytical person, I like models and I like frameworks to kind of put things in some kind of semblance of order to think through. And what we saw is that we really looked at it from a people, technology, and market boundaries perspective. And, you know, as an industry, we often talked about people, technology, systems and processes, but we really looked at it much broader from a market boundary standpoint. And what we're seeing is that the people aspect, which is really around changing customer demographics, changing customer expectations, because today's customers are having digital experiences outside of the industry with the Amazons of the world, with Netflix, and those are shaping what their expectations are for all businesses. At the same time, we've got different kinds of economic conditions and shifts in needs and risk profiles. From a technology standpoint, we all get excited about all the emerging technologies like drones and AI and cognitive and IoT. Those are all exciting, along with, you know, a lot of new data sources. But I think fundamentally it's platform solutions that are really one of the triggers and one of the accelerators for a lot of the change that's happening in the industry. And from a market boundary standpoint, how we kind of frame that is that it's about all these new competitors that may be within and outside of the industry. It's around shifting and expanding channels, that we are distributing our solutions through. It's around InsurTech. But it's also about the shifting and changing boundaries. So as you begin to look at, say, for example, autonomous vehicles and the potential that insurance is included in the purchase price of a vehicle, because it becomes more of a product liability standpoint, those things begin to change, and you now have no longer boundaries or silos of industries because you really have a much more merging together of lots of different industries that are reshaping not just individual industries, but I think the entire marketplace. And it's really aligning into a set of ecosystems that are figuring how do they work together and how do they embed and how do they support and how do they kind of cooperate together.
And I think we're absolutely seeing a lot of that play out, especially with the sort of the mixing of the boundaries as you start to look through other industries and then also the insurance industry. So that key example that you laid out around auto, I think, is a perfect example of how that's beginning to play out within insurance, where there's organizations like Volvo and Tesla, you know, that's actually working to design and create that ecosystem model that you just laid out, where what you see is that other things are included in that maintenance, and you know they're working with other providers to provide some things, but then insurance then becomes a component of the entire ecosystem versus the core of that ecosystem in terms of what these organizations are providing. And I truly believe that the future of the insurance industry is really going to be predicated upon having, especially when you look at the more commoditized types of exposures and coverages, having that ecosystem model that's going to be then driving the future of what we do within the industry. Now, you know, you mentioned something that you worked on in the past, but then also what you're looking at now around customer strategy and customer expectations. Now, to your point, you know, customer expectations have changed significantly in the way that they engage with companies. And so you mentioned the Amazons and other organizations. So, you know, Denise, if you don't mind, just frame what the customer of the future would look like for the insurance industry.
Yeah, so we've done 2 years in a row, we've done some both consumer and small medium business owner research. And the first year we focused on trying to compare, without them knowing it, we wanted to compare about their experiences around insurance as compared to other entities like an Amazon, like a Walmart or other grocery stores, all those different types of things. And what we found is that consistently for both consumers and small, medium business owners, insurance was dead last in that kind of easy to do business with across the research, the buy, and the service aspect, all three aspects. And there was a net promoter score differential of 76 to 80 points. And what that likely means is that insurance was probably in the negative. And what's happening here is that with all of these new products and some of these new business models coming out, the second year we decompose those into 30 different attributes, and we ask consumers and small medium business owners by generational group. So we went across the generations, and we asked them, you know, their potential interest in these different capabilities and these business models, and it was fascinating that there's truly a generational divide. And that generational divide is between the millennials and Gen Z, with the Gen X and the baby boomers. And the Gen X can kind of shift with the millennials and the Gen Z. In some cases, baby boomers will as well, particularly around value-added services where you might have services attached to, say, your policy that could help reduce or eliminate risk, say, for IoT in parts of your home so you don't have a broken water heater that's going to, you know, have some kind of a disaster in your basement. But what's happening is that we're seeing this shift, and fundamentally customers and this younger generation is really driving at a pace of change, a different set of expectations in what they're expecting in an experience, but also in the types of products. So in the past, we talk about it as insurance 1.0. It is more about insurance was needed more than wanted, and it's not really kept up with the expectations of a digital kind of an environment. In a world that we see and we call digital insurance 2.0, that fundamentally is a different business model, it's different products, it's different processes, and it's really targeted to this next generation of buyers. So you kind of have to think about it that for the last 20, 30 years, we have built our operating models, our products, our processes, all around assumptions about the marketplace, about the cars that we bought, the technologies that we had. Everybody graduated from college, they bought a house, they bought a home, they got married, all of those types of things. And that's not necessarily what these next generations are really going to do. And they have a different set of risks, they got a different set of expectations. And so while today's business is really paying all the bills, the future business has to really be rethought much, much differently. And that's where we're seeing a lot of insurers trying to figure out what that's going to be, because that's really the essence of what some of these new startup models have really provided. You know, the Ping Ans, the Slices, the Tros, the Lemonades, the Ladders, all of Haven Life, they're really trying to rethink that and go after this next generation of buyers.
Yeah, and so as I think about the next generation of buyers, you know, you mentioned the way that the consumers are now looking to engage with other organizations and how that's driving engagement within the insurance industry. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, what we're seeing today is a generation that's, you know, not really keen on things that are that the prior generation was keen on. So, you know, vehicle ownership is starting to go in the negative in terms of declining as to where it is today. You know, home ownership is actually beginning to start a little bit later in life for some of these individuals. You know, they're now you know, used to being able to get things through mobile or digitally, you know, in the way that they engage with other industries. And I think actually that's a part of what's driving you know the way that some of these consumers view the insurance industry, because I think to your point, you know, the industry itself hasn't really had the opportunity to keep up with where all of those changes are occurring. So you need to engage with organizations to drive things like digital transformation in order to align the value proposition for these insurance organizations with what customers are expecting today. Now, when I look at that, I look at, to the point that you made, where some of the new entrants are coming in relation to where some of these incumbents are. And, you know, so many of the new entrants are starting from what I always call the unfair advantage, right? You know, because they don't have the legacy piece that they're saddled with. So for incumbents, you know, I look at the legacy technology as shackles on these incumbents, because while they have the opportunity to make the change, sometimes it may cost tens of millions or even more to unhinge themselves from this. You know, so for those organizations, I think going digital will help them to then become in line with or on par with where some of these new entrants are. So Denise, you know, from your perspective, is going digital important for incumbents to be able to effectively compete in the future of where we see the insurance industry going?
Yeah, so when you say go digital, I, you know, unfortunately, some people think that going digital means putting a portal on the front end, or maybe doing a few different things with some technologies like IoT, and maybe, you know, other types of mobile technologies, maybe with a messenger app as an example. It's much bigger than that. But for that legacy business, it's a tough challenge. And in some cases, you're still going to have to probably modernize and transform those legacy systems, because you've got customers that are hopefully going to still be customers with you for the next 10 years. So you may need to kind of modernize those systems. If you don't, you at least need to begin to kind of put some kind of digital engagement around them. And that's what we really see digital first as a way of front-end and create these customer journeys. So you can really define a unique customer journey, and you can put a microservices platform over that to begin to do a lot of different digital-related types of things. But at the same time, that's not going to even be enough, because I think you have to fundamentally rethink what your business model and your platform of solutions are going to be, because your products are going to be probably very different than what they've been over the last 20 years. And you need something that's going to be much more agile. It's going to allow you to test and learn. It's going to allow you to innovate. It's going to allow you to kind of get to speed to market and speed to implementation. The days of 3 and 4 and 5 year projects that are multi-millions, tens to hundreds of millions of dollars, those days are gone, because after 4 years of doing a project, everything's going to be different. And we can't afford that. That's where being able to stand up, maybe a new policy system to take out a new product and test it out into the marketplace and operate in a different way. We've got to kind of think about all of our ways that we operate much differently, rather than trying to say, okay, we're going to define this, and then we're going to build it, and then we're going to implement it. We've got to be much more agile and be willing to take risks and be willing to actually fail even and learn from those failures.
Interesting that you mentioned that. So I I'm not going to mention the name of the carrier, but I've worked with quite a few carriers within the insurance industry, and as I even look at what some of these carriers are doing today, to the point that you made in terms of needing to have that speed, right? So there's some of these carriers that are still looking at what they're doing from the perspective of, okay, it's gonna take us 4 years to stand this up. We'll start this and then we'll introduce our first product on this 4 years from now. And I think you're absolutely right, Denise. I think that as you start to get into year one and then year one and a half, all of a sudden you're starting to recognize that the vision that you had to launch this new policy administration going 48 months or 36 months from now, it completely changed, because the products and the types of things that consumers are used to seeing wound up changing throughout that time period. So before these organizations have even had the opportunity to launch those new systems, they're already falling behind the times. And for me, that creates an opportunity to look differently around how they're introducing product and technology and modifying their business model within their value chain, and figure out how to then align it with the needs of the customer and the speed that the industry is now beginning to witness.
One thing to add to that, Abel, is that's where we're seeing, I would say a couple of years ago, InsurTech was really a little bit of a shock to the system, for the industry, because we saw the lemonade entering. We saw Slice, we saw Trail, we saw Haven Life, we saw Ladder, we saw a number of these companies, and it scared the insurance companies. Those business models are growing, and I think that they've got some unique offerings, and I think that they have a real opportunity to capture some market share for the things that they're doing. But now what we're seeing is established incumbent insurers saying, we got to get in the game, and we've got to stand up a greenfield. It might not necessarily be a new brand, Haven Life with MassMutual, but it could be a new division that they're going to start going after, a new market segment. They're going to test out some new products. We're starting to see a lot of that, and that's where they're looking at cloud platforms to be able to put it up really quickly. It's a pay-as-you-grow, it's a subscription model. Doesn't have those big CapEx and OpEx dollars associated to it, and allows you to be a lot more innovative, a lot more creative. You can get to speed to market, you can test and learn, and you're not going to necessarily lose those billions and millions of dollars, if you're able to do it that way.
I think this is great, right? Because as I look at what some of these incumbents are doing, right, and you know, no knock to the incumbents or the organizations that they're partnering with, but with the speed that it takes for some of these policy administration systems, you know, they are spending, you know, tens of millions of dollars, and they're not, they don't have the capability to be very nimble to introduce some of these platforms into the industry. So to me, that creates somewhat of a competitive disadvantage. And so I think your viewpoint in terms of where that is spot on. You know, so I guess what that leads me to want to ask you is, you know, number one, you know, what are some of the biggest opportunities that you do see present within the insurance space from an innovation perspective? And then also, you know, what areas in insurance today has been least impacted by innovation, but is truly ripe for transformation?
So I think it's different for different segments of the marketplace. So when I look at the commercial and specialty lines arena, I look at that, and if you look at the top 10 growth industries over the next 10 years, over half of them are really based on a lot of these new emerging technologies like drones and AI cognitive and IoT. And I think that there's some really unique opportunities there because there's different kinds of risks. There's new businesses being formed. It's medium and small businesses. And I think that that gives an opportunity to really go out and capture what has been traditionally probably a very underserved or unserved marketplace because it's been difficult to reach those small, medium businesses. But in a digital world, that's much easier to reach because those people that are forming these businesses are likely of the millennial generation. They're the growth area for entrepreneurs. Could be some of the Gen Zs, and they're very adept at technology, and they're going to expect that. At the same time, I think that in our research, one of the things that we found really interesting was that there is a real interest in embedding insurance in the purchase of things. So whether you bought a car or you bought a TV, you know, you bought your home, you know, whatever it may be, is this concept of embedding insurance. And the company that has really taken it to the nth degree is Ping An. With Zongyang over in China, where they've aligned with Alibaba, and for the purchase of anything on Alibaba, they actually have insurance included with that, and they're looking at embedding it further into the ecosystems. And I think if you now look at a Lemonade, who now can embed an app for Lemonade to purchase insurance into, say, a real estate website, or Slice that's looking at embedding, you know, their ability to sell the kinds of product that they're doing on demand. Progressive doing that here in the U.S. and LNG over in the U.K., all of a sudden we're beginning to see these new kinds of models where it's becoming embedded. It may be embedded insurance, or it may be embedded models into other ecosystems, and I think that's it makes it easy to buy because it's not having to think about buying. It's just included in what you've got, and that's a really untapped market. So I think there's lots of opportunities on the L&A side. I think term insurance is right for real growth. It's been on the decline. Life insurance has been on the decline for decades. And part of it's because it's very difficult to buy. Who wants to wait 3 months to finally get underwritten, you know, when you give all your bodily fluids and everything else? Haven Life has done a really great job at really rethinking that model, looking at different data sources, and being able to actually underwrite really rapidly in minutes up to probably $1 million or $2 million of insurance for a younger generation. And now as you begin to kind of use some of these technologies and new data sources, you're able to do that, and you completely change the process, you completely change the assumptions, and you make it really easy and affordable at the same time for people to buy it.
You know, so just looking at it from that perspective now, as we start to get into talking about opportunities around embedded insurance and, you know, going direct and so on, I still look at the typical distribution model in what we've historically seen as a part of the insurance industry, right? And with that, you know, it's really tightly connected with the broker and the agent model. Now, on a go-forward basis, I'm not 100% sure yet. You know, I believe that maybe as we continue to get into the high complexity types of exposures and needs for coverages, that yes, we'll still be tightly wound to the broker agent model in the future. But honestly, I can't tell you what that's going to look like yet. You know, so from your perspective, as we start to delve more into, you know, driving the direction of embedded insurance or going direct and really not having to engage as deeply with the broker, where do you see that leaving the agent and the broker in the future of the insurance industry? And do you see there being an opportunity to continue with that sort of a model on a go-forward basis?
I think the fundamental word that we have to get used to is that it's a multi-channel world. One size does not fit all, and one channel doesn't fit all, and it doesn't fit every situation. So while some of the younger generation might gravitate towards doing things online and doing it more in what we call a direct kind of a model, they may also be doing it through embedded types of insurance, you know, as they're purchasing things on Amazon or as they're purchasing things from Best Buy, whatever it may be. And yet, at the same time, there will come a time where they want to talk to somebody. So could it be a person on the phone, you know, from an insurance company, or could it be an agent? I think we have to be prepared for that multi-channel world, because there will be times where maybe they were, you know, had individual insurance, whether it was for auto or term life. They start their own business, and they need to figure out what kind of insurance do they need to have for that business. They're going to want to talk to somebody, and that's where there's a real value of an agent or a broker in those types of situations. So I think instead of thinking about an either-or, it's got to be a multi-channel and a 24/7 type of an environment that's really going to be based upon the customer's expectations and needs at that point in time. And it will be different for different types of insurance and different points in time.
Absolutely. You know, so Denise, you know, you are a leader in innovation. You know, so it just answer, you know, what and who influences the way that you think about in the way that you drive innovation in the role and in the things that you've been doing to date within your career?
So I think what influences me is that I am a very analytical person, but I'm also a very creative person. So I have that yin-yang perspective. I have both the right brain, left brain aspect of it, which is kind of unusual, particularly given that I was educated as a mathematician. I have a math degree. But on the other side, I love art, I love creativity, and I think that brings a different viewpoint. I think the second thing is that I have always been an extremely high level of reader. I'm a speed reader. I read, I'm a voracious reader. I cross all kinds of books, all kinds of media, and I think you've got to be always in a learning mode, and you've got to be open to things. I think the third thing is that you've got to be open to looking outside of the industry. So I think spending time at, you know, you may be on vacation, you may be interacting with another business. And for those of you that have children or grandchildren, watch them. That has been some of the most enlightening and eye-opening kinds of experiences. You just have to be observant. You've got to be in the moment and you've got to observe. We get so busy doing our jobs and kind of running through our days that we don't take time to think, we don't take time to read, and we don't take time to observe. And that's what's really, really critical, I think, is taking that time and kind of putting it together and being creative with it.
Absolutely. So Denise, you know, one of the questions that I always like to ask, just to make the discussion that we're having, you know, very tangible to the listeners of this podcast, is, you know, people listen to this podcast from all across the spectrum within insurance, and then also external to the industry. So if there's a piece of advice that you could give the listener in order to change the way that they do things outside of the status quo, and, you know, bring more innovation and bring, you know, just more less of a status quo way of thinking to their organization, you know, what advice would you give that individual?
What I would give is that be open to opportunities. In my career, I never planned the road that I traveled. I took advantage of taking different routes on my career route. You know, moving in between IT to business and back and forth, and moving between different organizations within the industry. I think that that gives you a wealth of experience. I think it gives you a wealth of relationships. Because in this business or any business, it's all about relationships. It's about reaching out to people and talking with people and developing those relationships as part of your learning. And I think you just have to be open to the possibilities. Don't chart a path that says, I've got to be this by I'm 30 or by I'm 35, I want to be a VP and I want to be a, you know, an accountant or whatever it is. You will close off opportunities that you never knew were going to be before you. And in today's world, with so much change and with so many new kinds of businesses being opening and new technologies, you've got so many opportunities ahead that you just don't want to close yourself off.
Absolutely. I think that's great advice, Denise. So, you know, I do want to say thank you, Denise. You know, I think this was a really compelling discussion around, you know, what's happening within the insurance industry and then also your thoughts around insurance innovation. You know, if the listeners wanted to learn more about what you do and also about the organization that you're with, what's the best way for them to get in, to learn more about your organization?
Best way to learn is to go to Majesco.com, our website, and we have a whole thought leadership section that we publish new thought leadership on a monthly basis. We've got blogs weekly. We've got a webinar series monthly. And all of that is really based upon our engaging people within the industry and really around our research and our point of view of where we think the industry is going. And I would just encourage people to engage with us that way. And if you want to engage with me personally, reach out to me on LinkedIn, and I'm happy to connect and engage.
Perfect. You know, I'll put a link to your LinkedIn on the show notes for the podcast, Denise. So, you know, once again, thank you, Denise. I really appreciate having the opportunity to talk to you, and I'm just looking forward to continuing to see your thought leadership and hearing your thought leadership around the future of this industry.
Well, I'm looking forward to engaging with you, and together I think it's going to be with everybody else, it's going to be a really fun next few years for the industry.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining this episode and listening to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted Podcast. I hope you got a lot out of that discussion with myself and Denise. I truly believe that she provided a lot of great, deep subject matter expertise for the industry. So, you know, once again, I want to say thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. I truly appreciate it. And, you know, I will see you next week.